This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Cincinnati author Jeffrey Gerard has released his debut novel, a thriller titled Cain's Blood, which mixes the science of cloning and the horror of serial killers. It's been published simultaneously with a young adult version of the story titled Project Cain. Jeffrey Gerard here in the studio with me. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
You have a degree in literature and a master's from Miami University in creative writing. What prompted you to write your first novel about serial killers?
I'm a teacher at Moeller High School, actually. I've been teaching at Moeller High School for 10 years, chairman of the English department, all that good stuff. And one day in class, the boys started talking about serial killers. Is an all-boys class sometimes does. I mean, maybe all girls' classes do, too. And it occurred to me, they started, you know, popping off with trivia questions and, hey, did you know this? Did you know that? And it turned out I knew an awful lot about serial killers, and they were impressed with that, it seemed, as much as a teenage student can be impressed, more so than my knowledge of Hemingway. And so I went home and dusted off an old short story I'd written about clone serial killers. Years and years before, it was probably five, six years of dust on the thing, and I dusted it off and thought it was something that I could write specifically for teenagers, and it was sort of an introduction to the serial killer world, that the hows and whos and that kind of stuff.
Why do you think people are so fascinated with serial killers? I mean, I know, I won't say I have a fascination. I have a knowledge,
a morbid interest
or whatever, not quite to the degree you take it in Cain's Blood here, but yeah. You know, I do know a little bit. Why do you think there is that fascination, and especially among teenage boys?
And girls. The morbid fascination is one. Yeah, I mean, we have to write that off. You know, the news leads with the stories it does for a reason. You know, we're sort of, as horrible as some of these stories are, we're glad it's not us, and there's an instinctive curiosity in other people's demises. So we check out that. I also think there is an aspect of the pure numbers of it. You know, between 0.5% or 4% is the high estimate of people are sociopaths. Now, does that mean they're out killing people and doing serial killer kind of stuff? No, but just the pure numbers of how many millions of Americans we're talking about, many of our neighbors, coworkers, and et cetera, have tendencies that could, in the right environment, lead to such paths. And then I think the third thing that I've really stumbled upon lately, now that I've been asked these kinds of questions, I think it's almost like the way I describe it is the way the vampire sort of took off. Bram Stoker's, you know, sometimes the Dracula is described as a counter to the Victorian, you know, whatever, the Victorian, what do we want to call it?
Mores and values.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. After a day of teaching, now the words come to mind. But here's this vampire that doesn't care about any of that crap. If he wants to jump in bed with someone, if he wants to, whatever, fluids are flying all over the place in Dracula. Our version of that is being politically correct. You know, for instance, I probably just said something right there I probably shouldn't have said, but, you know, what do I say to someone on Christmas, and how do I behave, and can I do this, and can I wear that, and what should I say or do, and what's HR going to think if I do this or that or the other thing, I'm going to get sued. Serial killers and people with those genetic tendencies and societal tendencies don't care what phrase you use for Christmas or what you think about them or the right thing to do or say, or whether or not you're going to get yelled at on Facebook for using the wrong word. And I think in the same way that the vampire was appealing to a group that was slightly repressed, I think maybe serial killers, the reason why they're taking off so much in books and television and movies in the last decade is because they are our version of not repressed.
I found it fascinating. I learned a lot in reading this work of fiction. You mentioned sociopaths, the difference between sociopaths and psychopaths.
Right, thank you.
You know, great definition in there that really clarified it for me. What kind of research did you have to do to dive in? You said you had previously written a short story about serial killers, so you had a little bit of working knowledge, but how much more did you have to dive into it, Jeff?
That was a start. I certainly wanted to do more, because especially, it started off with the teen book. The adult book came second in a weird way, but originally wanting to write a book for teens and specifically teen boys, men in particular, and teen boys, the readers, the people I've been teaching for 10 years, prefer nonfiction to fiction. I mean, statistically, that's proven many, many times in ways. So I wanted to purposely work in a lot of those kinds of details. And I started with the serial killers themselves, looking into their lives. The the boys in this story, they're boys, they're teens. They're clone serial killers, but they're not 35, 40 years old. They're 13, 15, 17. So I was really interested in what these famous serial killers, Gacy, Bundy, Dahmer, those types, what they were like when they were kids, what they were like as teens. So a lot of stuff on looking at biographies, interviews with them, not face-to-face, of course, but, you know, finding stuff online, finding FBI reports and psychiatric reports on these guys to get an idea of what happened to them as kids. Because the evil scientists in this book, part of what they're doing is they'll make two clones of Jeffrey Dahmer, and one of them is raised horrifically, abused and neglected and that kind of thing, and the other one is raised, quote-unquote, normal. And so they can see the nature-nurture effects in play as part of what's going on here.
It had to be, you know, I know there's a fascination with it, but boy, serial killers sometimes aren't fun to delve into when you, you know, see what they do. And you touched a little bit on the psychology of it, but you also mentioned genetics, and that's another prime part of Cain's Blood is talking about the genetics and the working with genetics. So I imagine you had to learn a little bit about that as well.
I did. Scientists, as they're trying to with a lot of things, you know, are convinced that perhaps they've pegged, you know, where in our DNA the violence gene is, the anger gene is. Most now think that it's directly related to, well, let's face it, 100 years ago, people thought it was related to whether or not you were left-handed or had a big forehead or something. So,
right.
You know, who knows what it's going to be 100 years from now. But right now, things like dopamine levels, these chemicals running through our bodies, some of us have normal amounts and some of us have too much. And so they've found areas in our DNA. There's a particular strand called XP11, which is where the original story got its name, that affects your dopamine levels in a negative way and makes you sort of predisposed to violence. And they've sort of targeted this thing. And it's a matter of figuring out. Interestingly enough, the fix for this is on the X chromosome. That's it, the X chromosome. So females, if you have this problem, XX, you got XX, you got 100% chance you're good of fixing this mutation. If you're a male, for those of you who remember your high school biology, it's XY. So you have a 50-50 chance. If you have this, it's a rare mutation, but if you have it, you only got a 50-50 shot of fixing the mutation while in the womb. Otherwise, you pretty much, hopefully you're going to have the greatest nurture on earth to compensate what nature has given you.
You mentioned that you wrote the young adult novel first because you were looking for that teenage audience, or
right,
wanted to deliver to that teenage audience, you know, via your work as you go. I don't know, why did I assume that the adult book came first, you know, and how did you balance that? Because I know some of the descriptions in Cain's Blood won't be
In
Project Cain.
No, they're very, very different books. Cain's Blood is for adults. It is very, very R-rated. You know,
on any number of levels, yes.
Yes, on many levels, yes. I mean, you know, Stephen King-esque, as I'll say for myself, but
yes.
Thank you. And then the teen one is very PG-13. It truly is. I wrote the teen one first. I sent it to my agents-to-be, and the agents-to-be said, hey, we really think this would work better as an adult novel, probably because they wanted that R stuff. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I went off and wrote the adult novel. He said, this is fantastic. We can sell this. Hey, would you consider writing a teen version from the point of view of one of the main characters? Which brought me back to where we started with those guys. But one of the characters in Cain's Blood is a 16-year-old kid named Jeff Jacobson, who has discovered that he is the clone of Jeffrey Dahmer, which would be an interesting thing to discover one afternoon when you thought you had a normal life.
Right.
And so the Cain's Blood, the adult one, was written. It tells many stories. It follows Project Cain. The Cain one is just this one kid, first-person point of view, as he himself goes through this adventure. And he gets involved in different things outside of the scope of the adult book. Most of the stuff that happens in the adult book would probably shock the heck out of this kid, but it'll explain a lot to him. So ideally, you know, the idea is that you're not going to read both books. I mean, maybe Simon Schuster thinks differently. You know, adults should read Cain's Blood. Teens should read Project Cain. If, however, you do read both, the idea is that you'll be well rewarded for that.
Well, I want to say that I read Cain's Blood, and I like to read a book before I learn too much about it. I don't go delving into background. I don't even read the jacket notes.
Ooh.
Maybe before I dive into a story. That's how I judge what a good book is, whether it's worth reading. And I didn't learn about there being a young adult version until after. And I'm interested in reading it and tracking it down. What, you know, you mentioned you've been getting asked questions like I'm asking here, since the book came out, what has surprised you most about what people want to know about the story or about the book or about the serial killers? What has perhaps shocked you as an author about what people pick up on in the story?
To the second part of that question, you changed it. I was all prepared for the first. That's okay. The second part, I'm surprised at how dark and violent people think the book is. Honestly, that surprises me a little bit. I just funny wrote something about that. So that's the first thing. When I was writing it, I wasn't really going for like this gross out horrible blood fest. But as a writer, the way I write is I write what comes next. I'm not a plotter. I just sort of write step by step by step. And, you know, I'm dealing with some pretty violent guys, so I guess they did some terrible things. And I wasn't really aware of that until after the book came out and some of the, you know, I have pretty major horror authors talking about how terrifying and violent this book is. I'm like, jeez. Yes. I'm like, okay, I guess it is. But I'm talking about some pretty violent characters. The other thing was that, and it's not what I'd intended with this book, and I like when people ask me about this, is the whole government military stuff. That wasn't a goal going into it, but my research led me to, I was unaware of how much money we spend on weapons, the United States. That was, you know, pretty decently read, I think, 45-year-old guy or whatever, and I was shocked by how much we spend on designing ways to kill people. And it's not even just the weapons and on the wars that we've been doing, but on new ways to kill people. We spend more on that than on transportation, education, agriculture, medicine combined. That was eye-opening for me and for readers, too, who ask about that. And is that really true? Is that really true? And it's like, yes, look into it. And look into tests that we've done with LSD and telekinesis and all sorts of wacky stuff where we make apologies 20, 30 years after the fact for injecting, you know, human beings with anything from plutonium to syphilis just to see what'll happen as a potential weapon. So from a writer point of view, it's curious to think what we'll be apologizing for 30 years from now.
You started Cain's Blood and, well, Project Cain to begin with, to appeal to that teenage audience, the young adult readers. How has that worked out? Are you getting good feedback? I mean, I'm asking you adult questions here about, you know, the adult perspective on things, but I'm interested in seeing, you know, in this day and age when books are fighting just as much as everything
absolutely.
Else is for the attention of these young people. How has that worked out?
I can tell you the halls of Moeller are filled with the book. There are a lot of kids walking around with it. So that's something. You know, what can I tell you? You know, Project Cain, the teen one, has already gone into its second printing. So that's cool. I mean, it's only been out for 3 weeks. And a little package showed up at my house the other day. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Why are they sending me more books? And it was like, congratulations. It's the second edition of your. I'm like, all right. So someone's buying the teen book. You know, 50% of the YA teen market is actually adults. that is the case. But someone's buying that book, and Cain's Blood. Heck, they made so many of those. Who knows? We'll see. But good reviews so far across the board. Cain's Blood, everyone seems to like that one. Project Cain, people are split. Quite honestly, people either love the book or want to, you know, burn me at a stake. So, and that's okay. I mean, I went into it knowing that, and it was worth the risk for me.
So this is your debut novels, I guess you could say, if you count both of them, young adult and the other. What's on the horizon for you?
I'm working on another adult thriller, more, you know, international conspiracy, the whole world's going to end kind of thing, and monsters and bad people kind of stuff. So more of the same as far as that, a dark thriller for adults. And the teen stuff, also some... So dark there too. I got to get out of my dark phase. It's the only pain I have right now. So some stuff for tea. I'm working on a couple projects right now. So we'll see.
Well, thanks for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Jeffrey Gerard, author of the thriller Cain's Blood and the young adult book Project Cain, available where books are sold. You can learn more about Jeffrey and his work at our website, wvxu.org, and find a link to his website there. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 and 88.5.